mes pieds. De la puissance, je suis au plus haut et pourtant je dois vous envier. Je voudrais devenir un homme, ce serait merveilleux. Vivre pareil aux autres hommes, loin des simples ennuyeux. Oh, vous petites, je vais manger comme vous. Parler comme vous, faire comme vous. Tout. Un singe comme moi, pourrais je crois être parfois bien plus humain que vous. Que vous. Je suis pas dupe si je marchande avec vous. C'est que je désire le moyen d'être un homme, un point c'est tout. Dis-moi le secret pour être un homme, est-ce vraiment si mystérieux? Pour moi faire éclore la grande feu rouge, ce serait merveilleux. Ah, vous petites deux, je vais marcher comme vous. Parler comme vous, faire comme vous, tout.
Yes, sir. Hey, happy new year. It's a new year. We lived through 2025, made it to 2026, and God only knows. We'll see what happens next. It's been a busy week for a short week. I mean, you know. So, first of all, I girded myself for, I mean, if you heard the weather just a few moments ago, I'm talking bitterly cold. Okay. Well, what's it been? I mean, you know, it's wintertime in Maine. Come on. So I leave the house this morning. I'm girded myself for bitterly cold, and I walk outside. It's 16 degrees at my house. I said, 16 degrees. I can laugh that off. I can go out in my undies in that kind of temperature. I'm acclimated, man. It's been what, a couple weeks now? And I got to Bangor, and it was 3 above. What the heck is going on in Bangor, Maine, that it's 3 above? That's why I live on the coast, boys and girls. I just want you to know that. And we'll see what tomorrow throws at us and Monday. So Monday, we're closing on the project. And then the festivities begin. There's less lists this past. I did make a list yesterday just because I'm starting to mentally gear up, which is the process. And so less lists, and I've spent the week making piles of tools and things I need that have to land in the house. And one of the first things will be, I've got a roll of that big heavy building paper that you put down on the floors, because I will be doing some demo. And although there will be floors we'll be replacing, I don't want to mess up anything that I might not have to, you know, replace. So I've got a roll of it. I was going to get rosin paper, but they make a specific product, which is quite heavy. So I've got that in my car, excuse me, and we'll tape that down to the floor. That'll be one of the first things I do. And then the recip saw comes out. And I'll start cutting. And what we'll be doing first is, and we will, by the way, we're closing on Monday. Probably Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll have the first videos up on YouTube. So you'll get to see what I've been talking about. But we'll be taking out one bathroom. Another bathroom, which is stacked above the first bathroom, has a leak that we need to deal with. So the ceiling is coming out to deal with that. And we'll be replumbing both areas. My biggest concern right now is the drain's going to be in the way, in the wrong place. But we'll see. But, you know, that's what plumbing's for. You can change it. It's very easy to change. Well, it's not always very easy, but it won't be that complex. I can deal with it. I'm a big boy. It's going to be a process. Curious to see how quickly this goes. The last weekend, I had to do, property got appraised. It appraised okay. But the appraiser, who in this case kind of is the liaison between the lender and me, I guess, I don't know, looked at the house, said everything's okay, with one exception. There was a kerosene tank on a back porch. There's a wooden deck. You know, it's a pressure-treated porch. And there's a kerosene tank there. And it said, we can't have that. It's not legal. We knew that. I knew it. It was on my list of things to do. That's coming out. It's got a kerosene heater. And I decided I was going to sell it. And I still might. But for the time, it's got a Toyotomi kerosene heater. And a 275-gallon oil tank on a back porch. So he said, that's got to go. You got to fix the railing. The railing had no balusters. Just a top rail, some posts. So I went over last Saturday when it was also a delightfully unwarm day and just looked at what I was dealing with. Excuse me. One of the first things I was concerned about was, hey, is this screwed down to the deck? And it's not. And then I looked a little bit closer and I said, oh, this was installed by monkeys. It's not screwed to the deck. It is wedged. They had a jerry, you know, there's a filter at the bottom of a 275-gallon oil tank. That was in so tight. It was up against the railing on one end and up against the house on the other end. And you couldn't move the tank very far because there was no, literally no wiggle room. So I had to disconnect the oil. Now, the tank is empty, but I had disconnected, I shut off the firematics, disconnected the oil lines, plugged them off. I was able to swing the tank. I could slide the tank around because it's empty, first of all. Second of all, it is not, I can't believe it is not anchored. I slide it around a little bit, and I look behind the tank where there would be a railing, and when the gorillas put this tank in place, they cut the railing out. So if I decided, if I was a ne'er-do-well, which I guess I'm not, and I wanted to do some really terrible thing, you could literally push that tank right off the deck, which is 6 feet in the air, by the way, on the side where the tank was. So anyway, got it all prepped, and Sunday we took it out. Pete came over for a little while. He was not happy, but it was okay. We got through it and got it. And I'm saving the tank for the time being, and we'll see how that goes. I got to take a break, though. It's 8:15. I haven't even started. I'm only into last Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, Monday. What happened on Monday? I don't remember. Anyway, let's take a break. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478.
80 and nightclubs is getting me with gigolos. Anything goes. When mothers pack and leave poor father because they decide they'd rather be tennis lovers. Anything goes. If driving fast cars you like, if low bars you like, if old hymns you like, if fair limbs you like, if Mae West you like, or me undressed you like, why nobody will oppose. Every night's a set that smart is intruding in nudist parties and studios. Anything goes.
You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think about what's trying to do to me, yeah. Think. Let your mind go, let yourself be free. Let's go back, let's go way on the back. I didn't even know you came to me in too much more than time.
We're back. 818. Think about it. Yeah. Aretha Franklin, man, she had it. She had it for sure. Let's see. So got the tank out. I then had to, there was no balusters on the porch. So I replaced the part that got cut out when the tank apparently got put up on the porch and then enclosed everything with plywood, which is quick and easy. I wasn't sure I was keeping. I'm not sure that porch is going to stay. That may go bye-bye. So we just covered it with plywood. And it was a little nippy. You know, I was running around and kept moving, so it wasn't bad temperature-wise. It was about an hour and a half, though, to get everything done. And that got done. So then I got to pay for the appraiser to come back to inspect what was done, which he did, and everything's okay. So I took pictures, though, because it's it really is kind of trashy looking, but it's safe, and it's solid. It's quite solid, actually. And had the tools with me and just banged it right out. If I have enough time, I have everything with me at the right time. I had to run home and get more plywood because I didn't have enough plywood to cover all the areas. But I got it. And I still got some left over. And it's going to stay that way now till I decide what I'm going to do with the porch. I'm beginning to think it's going to stay. It's an old pressure-treated porch that looks awful. Excuse me. Most of the porches are pressure-treated, but they just need to be cleaned up and painted. We could do that. I could do that. I could deal with that. So that's close. So again, we had a short week. Still trying to figure out what I need ahead of being in the building. You know, I've been in there a number of times, and I don't want to be pestering the realtor with just going in and, hey, I want to measure this. I got to look at the way that pipe comes out in the basement. And so I've exercise great restraint, and it's not easy to exercise restraint, but I don't want to be a pain in the you know what. So but one thing I did remember I needed, this house has LP gas, is there's no smoke alarms, and if I'm putting a smoke alarm in, it's going to be a combination smoke carbon monoxide alarm. And I got online, I looked around the box stores, and you know, they're about $60 each. And I said, let me do some shopping. So I got shopping and found some First Alerts for a fraction of the price online. Those are coming. I won't be sleeping there right away, but I will. I got 3 smoke alarms. It's probably not enough, but it'll start. 1 first floor, 1 second floor, 1 in the basement, just to make sure that there are no surprises. We want to know when things are going south on us. Got to get a dumpster in. There'll be demo. And, I'm looking forward to that. There may be a crew involved. Last project I did, I hired somebody to help with the demo. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But I've got the recip saws, plural. I've got the plug-in and the cordless. The plug-in just has a little bit more moxie. And, it's going to be... I haven't packed the extension cords, and that's one I got to remember. I'm going to need multiple extension cords. But we're getting there. So it's been a whole week now of anticipation, knowing that we were going to close this coming week. And it got pushed to Monday, and I thought it was going to be later in the week, but it's Monday for a number of reasons. And it reminds me of 30... God, I'm getting old. 33 years ago, in January, almost to the day, we bought our house that was on Broadway, 201 Broadway. And we moved in. It was around January 10th. And it snowed. We actually had a blizzard. Kept the kids. I don't know if the kids had school that day, but they were with us because we were moving. And I've told this story many times. I'll try to give you the abbreviated version. We move in, and it's a steam system. I knew nothing about steam. We had left the thermostat at 60 because it was a big old, completely uninsulated house. We are moving things in after the closing, but 10th is the day we're moving in. So I get over there, we're bringing stuff over, and I turn up the thermostat to 68, and I watch, the house is warming up. It's like 64. That turned out to be the peak for the day. As the day went on, the temperature outside went down to about 10 below that night. And the heat kept dropping. It was running, but it was dropping. I said, well, it's January 10th. It's 10 below zero out. We do have some heat. I don't want to pay for an emergency call because who knows what we're going to get into in the middle of the night. We have some heat. So went to bed, got up the next morning. It's 55 now in the house. Kids were all very happy to go to school. And I called my friend Bob, who came over and said, oh, you got to blow down the boiler control. And he tweaked things, and we had heat. So, and then we went on from there. Now, in this case, we have heat. The house has some insulation. And it's working well. And it's got a condensing boiler that we found the... The owners didn't skimp in putting stuff in, and they got the extended warranty on the boiler, which is still good. It's good for some time, as a matter of fact. So I don't have to think about that part. I have to think about everything else, including replumbing radiators, but that's for another day. So, of course, if you buy a house, you have to change over all the utilities. And that stuff has to be done before the closing because the legal persons who do the closing have to know that's done. So I'm not running up the bill in somebody else's name. So that got done. The insurance got done. I guess we're ready. So it's day after tomorrow. And it's going to be bitterly cold. Sure, why not? If there's a time of year I don't want to pick to do it, this would have been it. But here we are. So it'll be fun. And I'm planning on, aside from the porch thing and the tank thing, I'm planning on being inside doing everything else. So we'll see how that goes. One thing I haven't done, I got to get a dumpster. And then that's an interesting thing. Getting rid of waste in 2026 is not a cheap thing. I did it 4 years ago when we bought the house we're in now. That needed to be gutted completely. And we did 2 or 3 30-yard dumpsters. to get it to bare bones. We don't have to do that here, but we will be doing a bathroom. The upstairs bathroom needs a little bit of woodwork. It's going to have a new floor because it's got a hardwood floor that's been damaged by water. So that's going to come up. I don't know what we're dealing with till we tear it all up, but the floor gets replaced. The rest of it doesn't. It does have a clawfoot tub that's got to come out of the room in the process of doing the floor. And I've got these little slippy slidey things you put underneath heavy things to slide them around. So I will report back to you. I got the giant economy pack just in case I'm sliding around a lot of, well, we are going to be sliding around a lot of heavy stuff. So, and I'm not sure which goes when and where. So I got a package of them. And if they, I've used them before. I don't know where our old ones are. So I got a package of new ones. And we'll slide the tub out of the bathroom, do what we need to do. At some point, we're putting new toilets in both bathrooms. In the upstairs bathroom, which we don't have to do a lot too, the one spot I do have to work on other than the floor is behind the toilet. At some point, there was a tank anchored on the wall, and it has wainscoting in the bathroom. And the wainscoting got cut away, and it's just a big, kind of weird-looking hole in the wall. It's not a hole in the wall, but it's a hole in the wainscoting. So that'll get redone. And then, of course, we'll paint and replace the thing, fix whatever the leak is. That'll be fun. Let's see. Our text is 601-207-4478. Our phone, 1-800-966-1039. Let's see. Rick and George could take a lesson from you on bumper music. Well, maybe. We do. You know, I think I spent a fair bit of time on bumper music, believe it or not. Let's see. We got a message. Tom, I have hot water baseboard heat. Notice this winter that one zone upstairs does not heat well. Baseboards are getting warm, but not as hot as they should be. I can feel the circulator running, but even with the thermostat bypassed, it won't fully heat up. Any thoughts on what the issue could be? I suspect there may be some air in the line. Either that or you've got a circulator that's starting to go. You could take the covers off the baseboard. There may be a bleeder valve somewhere on one of the elbows. It'd be usually on either end of the baseboard. See if there is a bleeder valve there. A little screwdriver, you can loosen that up and bleed out air, and that may get you in better shape. The other thing is, you know, when it comes to hot water baseboard, a lot of people don't understand this. People call them radiators. They're not radiators. They're convectors. And what they do is they let air in the bottom. There's a slot on the bottom and a slot on the top. Air comes in, goes through that big fin tube that's in the center, and passes up through the fins. And then as it gets heated, hot air rises. It rises up and out. So if the bottom of the baseboard is plugged, and sometimes that happens, either carpeting, stuff on the floor, dust would be the other thing. You know, pop the covers off and check to see if it needs to be vacuumed. It does happen. And I don't like hot water baseboard. I think I've said that before. I don't like them. I don't like the way they look, but also they do need to be cleaned regularly. Let's see. Oh, you know, I played this before the last break. Anything goes. So I didn't play this part because it's the tap dancing part, but I was watching it. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a bit. It's 8:31. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning, and it's Secret Agent Man right there.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given
that you find.
Okay, we're back. It's 8:37. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. A little East St. Louis Tutelo. If you're not familiar with that, Duke Ellington. Sounds like it, don't it? Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. We got some texts, if I can get the mouse to work here. You know, 2026, you think computers and stuff would work better. Let's see. Thank you for the advice on cellulose insulation last week. I found out my local hardware store has the blower machine and can get the bags of cellulose. My carpenter knows how to handle that operation, and it's almost fun. One bit of advice: wear a mask if you're up in the attic. Even if you're not in the attic, you're just filling the machine. A mask helps. It is dusty. It's paper, so. It's safe. That's not carcinogenic, but you don't want to be breathing that dust. If you if you're in the attic, excuse me, is where I usually find myself in this operation. I come out looking like a gray frosty the snowman. So just be advised. You'll be dusty when you're done. Another one, maybe I missed it, but what are you doing with your current home after all the work, solar insulation? Are you bringing it with you or putting the whole new system in the new place? I'm not taking anything off the old house. The solar system will stay there. I don't want to do that two times. There's so many panels out there that are available, used to be recycled, that are so inexpensive that's not an issue. So I will, when the time comes, I've got enough other projects for the short term. I am looking. I think I mentioned I inherited a air-to-water heat pump from my friend Matthew. Once I get some of the stuff out of the shop to the house, like my staging and stuff like that, the heat pump will get moved to a place where I can test it. I think it needs a little bit of love, electrical love, that I can possibly, maybe, perhaps deal with. So we'll see. And if that works, that will go over there, which then really necessitates that at some point I do a solar system. I think I had mentioned that Town of Stockton Springs currently has a solar moratorium, and I'm on that committee to write an ordinance, and we're wrapping that up. We'll be submitting it soon to the town officials, and then it will go before the town for a vote. And I think it's a very moderate, very well thought out compromise between both ends or both extremes, if you will. So let's go over to line two, hit that button, hit that. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes. Good morning, Tom. This is James from Bar Harbor.
Hi.
And I have a question regarding energy and the grid. Okay.
Yeah.
When we talk solar energy, wind energy, it's quite one thing to talk about an individual installation like yourself, but are you aware, I got into a discussion last week where somebody thinks, wind and solar for the grid is just wonderful, and I don't think that's the case. And I'm wondering, do you know of a, like a white paper that, you know, say, ideally, say, Dick Hill might have written that talked about this and what the, you know, what the relative, you know, pros, cons, et cetera, are?
Yeah. I don't, to be honest with you. And, you know, and you see this if you get on, especially if you're on Facebook or something. There's all kinds of, especially negative stuff, and that fine. I'll read it, I'll look at it, and I'm like, well, where's this information coming from? I don't have any source like that that tells me dispassionately what the deal is. There's somebody posting regularly. Well, it's 5 o'clock and it's December 25th, and there's no solar. Well, yeah, it's dark out. Come on. You know, that's BS.
Yeah, right.
That is not helping anything. You know, let's get real. Let's be honest. My read on it is there's a lot of accounting that's going in that has nothing to do with the technical end of things. There's tax benefits, there's depreciation, and I understand that, and that's probably good for the investor, from the investor point of view, but what is the bottom line for the people of the state of Maine, or for the United States, for that matter? The only qualification or explanation I've come up with, and this is anecdotal at best, is China is doing a lot more than we are. And they're doing it for a reason. And it's not because it's China Incorporated and they're just putting out solar panels. So I think as having, you know, a lot of what we're dealing with the ordinance has to do with industrial sites. That's the big bone in the throat for anybody. And I don't think anybody on our committee, and we have both extremes, has anything negative to say about if you want to put it on your own house, as I had done. It makes perfect sense. When we go into a big industrial installation, the question is now, what's that doing for us? Is it doing anything positive? I suspect it is, but I have nothing to back that up. And I'd like to see something that is from somebody like Dick Hill, or somebody, you know, who doesn't have an axe to grind, because it seems to me most of the people who are one extreme or the other have some kind of political agenda. And, you know, that's what we don't need in this discussion, and we're not seeing it. So that's the best answer I got.
Really. It seems to me that I've heard people, and I didn't pay close attention, I've heard people with you know, the morning program, you know, George and
Rick.
What's his name?
Oh, what's his name? Rick.
Rick, right. That have interviewed people who seem to have solid credentials and understanding and articulate, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know any of those people? Do you?
Yeah. I do. I'm going to color that with a political marker, okay, you can get on this radio, whether it's me or anybody else, say anything you want, just like you can on social media. Back it up. I want to see it. I don't want to see it from you or whoever is making the claim. I want to see it from somebody who has a objective point of view, and I just don't see that.
Right.
And I want to, as you do. And we need that. And I'm not sure we're going to get it, unfortunately. So, but I'll keep, and certainly if I find it, I will share it.
Yeah.
But I don't see that right now, unfortunately. What I can see, again, going back to the Tom puts them on his roof or you put them on your roof, I can look at those numbers and I can make a case. Those economics are pretty straightforward. And without the tax credits, that makes it a little more black and white. And that's a good thing. I don't think we need tax credits to justify putting solar on our residences. Do we for industrial sites? I don't know. And there's different incentives. I remember years ago, God, this is going back almost 40 years ago, I did a solar hot water system for a store in Bangor with a Radiant Floors, first Radiant Floor we ever did. It was actually a Varney Auto Parts store. And I sold the system to Bill Varney, and I can't remember his son's name, who was the accountant of the group. But he said, this is going to be paid for in the first year, because between the depreciation and there was a tax credit. But here's the kicker. Forget about the numbers for a moment. And it was my first one of that type. We had oil for backup, and it worked extraordinarily well. And every sunny day, this building, which was a barn of a building, it's on Outer Broadway in that place where the cigarette chopper is. I don't know, by Tractor Supply. And it's one of the first buildings in that strip. And it's all glass windows. The edge of the slab's not insulated. It was a Radiant slab. And every sunny day, that building was completely solar heated. And every time I'd go there, I had a computerized control on it. Bill Varney would say to me, turn the heat down. It's too warm. And it was, but and this was in the middle of winter. It just worked extraordinarily well. And but at that time, this was like 1985 or something like that, his son, who was the accountant of the group, said, yeah, this is going to be paid for in a year. Like, wow. And really? I didn't necessarily think that was the worst thing in the world, but I'm not sure, you and I wouldn't have that kind of tax advantage for doing it.
Yeah.
I'm going on too long. So if I get one, I will report it.
Yeah. Now, is that system still in functioning? Is it still working?
No. What happened, this was hilarious, and I try not to give out too many details, but the owner of the build, I didn't know there was a separate owner of the building. And there was the owner of the solar system that I put in, and the owner of the building had banged heads. I mean, really. Bill was a passionate guy. He was a great guy, but in business, he was tough. And they had a falling out, and he took everything. This was like 2 years in. He took everything off, took the collectors off the roof, cut the Radiant floor, left the little stubs sticking out, took the tank out, took the boiler out, and left the building. So then I get a phone call from the owner. Said, well, what do I do? And I went over and looked, and at that time, his heating company was Weber Oil.
Mm.
And the guys in the suits were there to meet me, and I said, look, you got 3 inches of stub on the floor. You can tie back into that and tie in the Radiant floor again and just run oil, because it'll work very well. And I assume that's what they did. I was never back in after that, but it was funny. And I subsequently talked to Bill, and he had some colorful comments, which I won't say on the radio. But
yeah, sure.
It was just so it all came out, which was a sin because it worked really well, and it should have, and it would have lasted for a very long time. But unfortunately, personalities got in the way. So
yeah,
it happens.
Now that's really unfortunate. I mean, my understanding And again, I haven't looked at this in any super detail, but that Radiant, solar Radiant, just for heating hot water, either to use as hot water or to use it as heating, makes sense, always has made sense, but it doesn't seem to get much, discussion.
Yeah, I can tell you why. It's more complicated. Have circulator pumps that fail. Photovoltaics is very simple. No callbacks, no controller. Usually, no controllers failing. You don't have pumps that cavitate. You don't have to deal with antifreeze. But in that particular installation, the other installation that we did, and there were more, but the one that comes to mind, Dick Hill and I did up in Orono, right next to where Dick lived. And the building is still there. I assume the system is still running. And every sunny day, that, again, a Radiant slab, solar directly into a Radiant slab, every sunny day, no other heat was needed in that building. the slab held enough heat to carry it over. And in hindsight now, I think the better fit for the in terms of using solar to heat a building would be photovoltaics with a heat with an air-to-water heat pump into a radiant slab, or maybe a mini split would not be quite as effective. But the slab gives you some wiggle because you can store energy. And so I've been chewing on the fact that, well, maybe I'll put solar panels to heat hot water to heat my radiant slab in my shop. And I've been chewing on that one for a while. I said, you know what? It makes more sense to have photovoltaics there, which I can then in the summertime just bank that for later use when I need it, or if I'm running a lot of stuff in the summertime, electrically. That's usable energy that I can use any time of year. Whereas if you're heating hot water, you pretty much have to use it within 24, 48 hours or it's gone.
Right.
So I got to let you go. We're almost out of time. Thanks for your call.
Hey, how do you spell your last name?
G-O. Okay.
Seriously.
Don't send me a bill.
G-O-C-Z-E.
G-O-C-Z-E. Right.
No
Hungarian.
Wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, I've seen every permutation there is.
I guess so. Okay.
Yeah.
Great,
okay.
Good. Hey,
thanks, Jim.
Have a happy new year.
You too. Happy
God
new
bye.
Year. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. Let's see. Let me hit that button there. There we go. Where was I? Okay, that's a solar thing. I got another question here. We got time for Tom. I have hot water baseboard heat. I have a lot of air in the line. It makes a lot of noise now. Are there easy ways to get air out of a baseboard system? Maybe. As I said, there sometimes there's a vent. If you take the ends off the strip of baseboard, sometimes on the top of the elbow there'll be a vent. The copper is obviously copper colored pipe. The elbow will have on the top of it a little, they call it a coin vent, and it's just a bleeder. And it's got a little slot where you put a panhead screwdriver in, and you can turn that, and it should spit out air. If you're hearing noise, there's air in that loop. If you're lucky, you've got a vent there. Somebody was on the game and did it the right way. You also have to make sure that if there's an automatic fill on the system, that if you've got air noise, that's on. So as air is displaced from whatever, there should be an air removal device somewhere that it is replaced with water. Also, in the basement, there may be an air removal device, and you'll have to Google the picture up because I can't show you on the radio, but it would be called an air vent. So there's a coin vent, which would be on the fitting in the baseboard, or an air vent down in the basement, and that's a little cap on it that's screwed down, and you can loosen that up, and if there's air in the system, it will bleed it out over some time. But you also have to have the automatic fill on, sometimes they're not on, to replace any air that is displaced with water, and that would eliminate the sound. If none of that's there or it's not helping, then one has to use a charging pump to force water into the system and purge out the air. That gets a little more complicated, and at some point you're calling a heating guy or girl, person. To take care of that. And we got to take a break. Man, I still got all kinds of stuff. I still got to order the dumpster. Is that on my list for today? No, that's next week. Oh, let's go to the... Oh, here we go. We got time for this? Yeah. If I hit the button.
Is there anyone from Portland, Maine out there?
Yeah!
Nice. Wow. Well, we just stopped there today for a couple hours. It was so nice. One of my very favorite cities. I'm going to move this one a little bit. And it got me thinking about this next song, so we decided to work it up for the show tonight.
Well, Portland, Maine is just a
the same as sunny Tennessee. Portland, Maine is just the same as sunny Tennessee. Well, many a place to hang my hat. This home sweet home to me. Yodley, yodley, yodley.
It is 9:07. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Let's turn that down. There we go. I get confused so easily these days. Let's see. All week long, I've been kind of wound up because we've had a bunch of stuff going on this week, and not the least of which is getting to the point where we're going to be closing on the house on Monday in anticipation and getting all that. So I haven't slept well. I mean, I just not sleeping well. Until guess what morning? Yeah. What? 5 hours ago. 3:56. Okay, I got to get up. Oh, God. The one night, I mean, I toss and turn all night, and it's like, oh, God, I got to, there's all this stuff. The good news about this is, and this, in some context, sounds pretty stupid, but it's honest to God truth. I do some of my best thinking in that state in between where, you know, I'm kind of sleeping awake kind of thing. And I think it was New Year's Day, New Year's morning. I had an idea for a banjo. Yeah, you know, doesn't everybody dream about making a new, different kind of banjo? I had resolved what I wanted to do. And actually, New Year's Day with the snow and everything, I checked the local one of the local hardware stores was open. I said, well, I need a thing to do this, and they weren't open. So then I went to Home Depot this morning. So they had it. I think they had it in stock, except I couldn't find it, and I wasn't going to linger around. I got important things to do, like get ready for the radio show. Of which, by the way, I spend more time actually preparing. I think I spend as much time preparing for the show as preparing the music as I do the program. Somebody said I should, you know, George and Rick should deal with that, have the music that I play. It takes a lot of time. And they, I don't know how they do it. 5 days a week to prepare all the stuff they have to deal with, because they're doing a lot more than I can ever think of. I'm only doing it one day a week. So no qualms about whatever Rick plays for music. It's just the the physical act of being in this studio every morning at God knows what hour they land here. It's earlier than I do, that's for sure. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Our text line is 601-207-4478. Let's see. Just to reiterate, we're closing on the house on Monday. And Tuesday, Wednesday, sometime midweek, we will have new video up on the project house, the initial videos. And if you miss them at the beginning of the week, they ain't going anywhere. And at some point, I think we'll probably do the TikTok thing, too. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But the got the mics. I have wireless mics. And I'll give you, you know, I watch Amazon Prime a lot. And they don't have everything I want to see, but there's enough. And it's relatively inexpensive. One of the things that drives me absolutely bonkers, if you're watching Amazon Prime, is they'll run commercials. Nothing wrong, you know, you got to pay the bills, run commercials. But they produce what is usually a decent-looking commercial without good audio. And what I mean by that, and this was something that was told to me a long time ago when I first started doing the TV show, you have to have good audio. And good audio is you've got a microphone on the person who is speaking. Okay, it's not a big deal. If you're doing it on your iPhone or your Android phone and you're real close to the person, that's okay. But they don't do this on these. Amazon does it all the time, and it's just totally insane. I mean, they sell the microphones, and they plug into your phone, and they clip on your shirt or whatever, and that's it. It's not a big deal. This is not rockets, and it's cheap. I think I bought a set with three mics and a receiver. I think it was $25. And it plugs right into my phone. And so everything we do will be mic'd. And hopefully will be somewhat legible, intelligible. We'll see. But if you're thinking about producing whatever online, get a microphone. It could be wired. Doesn't even have to be wireless. I just happen to pick up wireless, which is a little more convenient. Let's see. Back in the days before you could look up song lyrics in 30 seconds on your phone, Secret Agent Man often got misconstrued as Secret Asian Man. Purple Haze is another good one, where it sounded like, excuse me while I kiss this guy. Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of them. Like there was something recently. I was watching, and it had the captioning on it, and like, wow, I didn't understand that at all. Yeah. So let's see. What else? What else we got here? One of the things I mentioned, I'm going to be removing some walls. And I know is not a load-bearing wall. That's easy. That's coming out. Another one I'm not sure about. And I'll have to do a little exploratory. It's actually in the kitchen area of the house. And there's a soffit. There's kitchen cabinets, and there's a soffit that's coming out, which hopefully will give me enough access into the ceiling to see the wall I want to take out, see whether it's load-bearing or not. I'm 90% sure it's not load-bearing. I just want to look at it. I could take the wall out, but in the process, if I discover it is load-bearing, I'm not going to be happy if I've taken it all apart. So I think we can inspect that ahead of time. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. Let's dig a little bit, see what we got, and see if we can work with whatever's going to be. The kitchen, I think I mentioned, the kitchen is the complete kitchen is coming. The kitchen in this house is horrible. I mean, it's just there's no saving grace in any part of it. It's just that bad. So the cabinets come out. Pete said, well, you're going to use them in your shop. No, I don't think so. They're not even good enough to put in my shop. But I'll probably give them away. I'm, there's no probably. I'll give them away. I don't want to put them in a dumpster. Dumpsters, that's got to come on Tuesday, I think. I got to get the dumpster over there. There's not a tremendous amount of stuff. The biggest amount of waste that we'll generate, other than taking out a wall or two, is going to be some stuff in the basement. And most of the basement's been cleared out. But if we're having the basement wall spray foam, there is some stuff against the walls that has to come out. So I will be spending time in the basement, which is just my favorite place, an old rock mortar basement with a mud floor. Although it's not physically wet, it's damp. And one of the things I noticed last Sunday or Saturday, I was shoveling snow to make sure that, you know, nobody was going to fall in the process of moving a 275-gallon oil drum. And looking at the outside of the rock mortar basement wall, where all the pointing is gone, and all the snow has melted away, and having, I lose track. I did get my thermal imaging camera working. It took a while. I had to get an Apple adapter to make the thing hook up right. And it still took a little time to link up with my phone, but I went and did some thermal scans. And the hottest part, or excuse me, the biggest heat loss part of the house is the basement wall. What a surprise. The house has any hint of insulation in the walls, which this does. Basement walls are next. So, and we can take a break. It's 9:16. Time goes fast when you're having a good time. But I got the banjo music queued up, so that's not bad. We'll be back.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Okay, thank you, Francis. Let's see. You know what? That's not working. The headphones are acting up. Did these guys break the headphones? Okay. Maybe it's just my ears. Maybe I'm having an ear failure this morning. So high hopes. What a concept for the new year. We'll have some great anticipation. Text message came in. How thick will you spray foam on your rock foundation? Do you go from the sill down to the floor, Jim? Thank you, Jim. I will go from the. Actually, I've modified my plan a little bit. I wasn't planning on doing the sill area. I'm just going to go from the bottom of the sill down, but I'm actually going to do the box sill as well, but not have them do a lot because there may be wiring or plumbing that has to go up in that area, and I don't want to be rooting through 3 inches of foam. So the plan is that maybe half inch to an inch to seal all the cracks in the box sill. Then we get down to the sill, 3 inches, for the above grade portion, and then gradually taper down to maybe an inch at the floor. Average height in the basement is probably 5 to 6 feet. So, and at that point, we're down below grade several feet. So I'd be happy with that. And really, what I want to do is thermally decouple the rock, granite, whatever, from outside, but also seal all the holes, of which rock mortar, once you get down below the part that it's exposed, which is big granite slabs, we've got rocks with holes and stuff, and those need to be filled. So let's see. If I hit the button there, we're going to answer the phone. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, we're not going to do that one. Let's do this one. I'm going to get there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hello? Good morning.
Hi.
I had a heating question. I have an existing outdoor furnace, which is about 25 years old. I've been using it. So it's, you know, it's probably at the end of its life. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if I was going to go with a boiler in my basement. Do you have any recommendations on a good brand to go with?
For a wood boiler?
Yes.
I think the probably the best, and I haven't seen anything to contradict that thought, is the Froling, Froling.
Yeah, I think I did Google that.
They're excellent boilers. They are very easy to light off. I don't remember all the technical particulars of them, but they're one of the few boilers that are EPA rated as being, as clean burning as we want to see as best a wood boiler can be. And they're not cheap, but you kind of get what you pay for. In this case, they are an excellent boiler.
Mm-hmm. And how much tank storage capacity would I minimum would I have to have?
I would say this is just spit in the wind guess, probably about 500 gallons.
Okay. All right.
Depends on your building. Depends on, how much you want to fire the thing.
Yeah, it's an old farmhouse, but we have done a lot of work to it. We have radiant heat in the floor now because we jacked the house up and moved it back onto a new foundation.
Oh, good.
So what now, if I really like this outdoor wood furnace that I have because it's the old one. It's not a gasification.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to use, I have a lot of woodland, and I've been able to use, just burn, dead trees. It was just a really good way to clean out my woodlot.
Yeah.
But I know if I, if I go this different route, I'm going to have what, good seasoned wood and whatnot. Do you have any recommendations on an outdoor boiler? Furnace?
Yeah, well, I would say, if you're looking at outdoor boilers, I would be looking at a gasification boiler.
You have to have that now, right, in Maine?
Yeah, but I don't have a brand that comes to mind. I haven't looked at them recently. But they're out there. It's a question. It's always a question of cost and cost benefit in terms of, what do I want to decide to use? But in your case, if you're cutting your own wood, an outdoor boiler has some benefit in that you're not paying $350 a cord.
Right. It does. Yes. Yeah. I would still cut my own wood, but
yep.
I've been really fortunate to not have to process my wood very much. It's like I can, I just go out and burn just whatever.
Yeah.
And I know I can't get away with that forever, but okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Okay. Thanks.
Right.
Take care. Bye bye. Yeah. It's, there are some decent outdoor boilers there with the limitations that they present and the positive too, that you're, all the mess is outside. The Froling, I should know this, and I don't, I believe has what they in Europe refer to as an extractor, which is basically just a induced draft fan that draws or pulls the exhaust through the device into the chimney so you don't spill a lot of smoke inside. And, excuse me, as I say, they are real easy to light off because the controls control the blowers to till the fire starts, and really do a decent job of monitoring what the device does. I have no idea what the cost is anymore. I'm sure it hasn't gone down. I'm sure it's not cheap. But if you want to burn with one of the better devices available, that would be one. The other thing I would suggest is just getting online, and I'm sure EPA has emissions ratings for indoor and outdoor wood boilers, and it's worth taking a look at those to see, what you're getting into. You don't necessarily have to go by any of those guidelines. The thing is, in Maine, if you're not in a neighborhood, the outdoor wood boiler becomes less of a nuisance. If you're in a neighborhood, like the house I'm going to, if I put an outdoor wood boiler that smoked a lot, I would feel terrible. My neighbors would hate me. They may hate me anyway, but but it's not a good fit. If you're out in the woods somewhere, you got 1,500 acres around you, a little bit of smoke is just going to precipitate out. You don't want it getting into your house. You don't want to be breathing that exhaust. So there's a lot to do with the local topography and local climate, too. So, let's see. We've got to take another break here. What do we got? I still got a couple of things on my list. I've been shopping. I mentioned I was shopping dumpsters. And it's challenging shopping dumpsters, trying to find a deal or trying to find the best price, because everybody prices them a little bit differently. And just to keep it fun, let's see. Oh, I got to hit that. No, is that the button? That is the button right there. We're going to hit that tune. Yeah. Huh. It keeps going, man. 2026.
The beat goes on.
Sonny Bono, great philosopher of the 20th century. Right there, man.
The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee. La-da-da-da-da. The Charleston was once the rage, uh-huh.
It is 9:34. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Pete will be with us shortly. I checked up on him on the office camera. He's sitting there looking at his phone, so he's very busy. Oh, let's see. So one of the things I've been looking at in trying to learn from mistakes of the past is we're going to have to do some floors over. I know that. Not a lot, but I've got to replace some floors. So probably in the bathrooms, I'll be putting down tile. That's not a big deal. Might wind up putting radiant heat in the floor. That's to be determined once we get demoed as to whether that makes sense or not. But there's other rooms, like the kitchen, has old linoleum, and the floor's got to be replaced. And there's another floor adjacent to the kitchen. Floor's probably got to be replaced. It's just taken a lot of hits, and it's not serviceable. Although I would love to have somebody come in and just say, hey, fix it. basically the whole floor is going to come up. So it's not, we're just going to do a new floor in both rooms probably. And my inclination is to put down a floating hardwood floor, click together hardwood floor. And that's not a big deal. They're out there. They're reasonably affordable. We're not doing a gigantic area here. But the house I'm in now, I did a vinyl click-together floor, and I'm happy with it. But I don't want to do that again. I want real wood. So looking at wood click-together floors, laminate floors, you know, they have a veneer, which is fine. I don't need... I'm not too worried about wear and tear. But what I am concerned about, and you'll see this on a lot of floors, especially hardwood floors, where the two pieces come together, it's not square edged. They've got a bevel at that edge. And that gives you a little bit of wiggle in terms of putting it together, I guess. But it's also, to me, it's a place where dirt can accumulate. And knowing that Mrs. Gosey is the cleaning queen of Waldo County, I know at some point it's going to be an issue. It's an issue for me, and I'm not the cleaning anything of anywhere. But it doesn't make sense. It does if you would like that look. But I think a square edge floor, especially a hardwood floor, just looks a lot better, and there's not an issue. So shopping that and trying to find the right one has been an interesting, and I've been only doing it online. I've not gone in to many stores to look. Where I have looked, I haven't seen enough to fit what I want. I don't want something that looks goofy. This is an old house. I don't want new house looking floors, if for whatever that means. So we'll see. Let's see. Tom, if you take up the old floors, you can read all the news from back in the day. Maybe. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it, but as I say, they're not gigantic areas. The dilemma you get into in ripping something like that up, and I ran into this on two houses ago. We actually removed the entire floor from the house. So there was a point where if you opened the door to go into the house, if you didn't know, you had to stop right there. If you stepped in and it was dark out, you'd be in the basement. There was no floor, no nothing. And getting that apart, it had two layers of subfloor, you know, pine boards or boards, whatever. And the fasteners were so corroded that I had to keep going out and buying bigger and bigger pry bars. And even then, it was a nightmare getting them apart. You know, you could cut stuff up to some degree, but at some point, the fasteners have to come out. They have to break free. It was something. I want to tell you, it was a job. And if I have to do that again, Uncle Tommy ain't going to be happy. It's going to be something. So it ideally, if I could get a really thin hardwood floor to put over the top, I would do that. But I got to make the rounds. You just got to go and look at them all. Go to all, you know, the great luxury we all have in 2026. Is a lot of stuff you can look at it online. You can get prices on lumber. You can pick up if you're dealing with a local yard that doesn't have the prices online. Certainly, you can pick up the phone and say, "Hey, what's the cost for 2x4x8 KD?" You get the price, and you know you can work up your order. And you can look up the floors, but the image is never precise enough to eliminate not going into the store and looking at the display. And I can't buy one of those floors without seeing it up close and personal, I want to see what the repeat is on it. Not if it's hardwood, it's not going to be a repeat like with a laminate floor or a vinyl laminate floor where it's a pattern that just repeats. And usually it's not a big deal. I'm not worried about that. But I just want to see how it looks. Are there knots? No knots? Is that an issue? What species? I for one, in terms of hardwood floors, I want a uniform look. And a lot of hardwood floors you buy today, and I'm not sure why this is, but I guess it's just an aesthetic. You might have a, let's, for an example, talk about maple. You've got maple with a clear finish. It's relatively light-colored wood. And then you have stain in it, and you have a color variation that goes from very light to dark. There's a knot. There's spalting. I don't want to deal with that. I want something that looks quite uniform, and see how that appears. And Pete sent me a message. Why isn't he calling in on the radio? Okay, Pete. Thank you, Pete. Let's see. We got some messages here. Banana Sunrise. Did you forget how miserable a project house is? No, I haven't. Believe me, this is not a typical project. The last house I did was a true project in the sense it was, what wasn't gutted needed to be gutted down to the bare studs. There was fiberglass in the walls, all came out, whatever drywall was left, of which there wasn't much, all came out, ceilings came out, everything in the attic came out, and we cleaned up and started there. We had to change windows. In this case, project for me, big project, spray foaming the basement. I don't have to do any of that. The spray foam guy does it. I'll have to clean up some stuff in the basement, but that's a couple hours at the most, probably not even a couple hours. It's just not much. It had been cleaned out last summer. And two bathrooms. Now, to some people, two bathrooms is a big deal. It's not a small deal because we have to move a wall and we're doing some, you'll see when we go to do it, some rejiggering of stuff. But it's not horrible. The kitchen, I do... I can't say I could do kitchen with my eyes closed, but I've done a lot of kitchens, and both with people who knew what they were doing and by myself. And, you know, you learn as you do these things. So I'm looking forward to the kitchen. That's fun. Let's see. You should do a live broadcast one of these days from the new house project. That's possible. The catch is, and we've had this discussion before, we have to have a warm body sitting where I'm sitting right now to hit the buttons at the right time. The technology has not gone far enough that I can control that from the house myself. But it would be fun to do that and do it as a FaceTime as well. So, then folks could actually see what we're doing as well as having the conversation in real time. Unfortunately, that's not the case. What we might wind up doing, independent of being here on Saturday morning, at some point, do a FaceTime, a Facebook Live video feed where we can get messages and do show and tell. Somebody says, well, I'll do it. Yeah. Pete wants to do a radio show. I said, you know, you the radio show part that you participate in is you're sitting in my office with your phone. You're not running the – now, running the board is not rocket science, but you do need to know how to do it. And I said, you can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and come on up. And usually that's met with crickets. What's your Facebook account? We got a couple. One is American Solar Technics. I think the other one is AST Cars. And basically, that's just showing car stuff. We do not, I don't think we have a hot and cold one. After, we certainly will at some point. But let me, as a matter of fact, let me just ask Pete if he's calling in. Because we are running out of time here, if he is going to call in today. excuse me. We'll see how that goes. Okay. So the rest of it is not, the rest of the project house is just at my leisure. It's not urgent. We'll be changing out windows. I could do a window a week. There's only 30 windows. We'll be done in no time. If the windows are the right size, it doesn't take long to replace windows. Even if you're doing, if there's inside trim work that has to be done, you get set up for that. I'm always fascinated when people lament the fact that, well, you've added foam to the wall and the wall is a different thickness. Well, now I got to retrim the window. That's not a big deal. You have to have a table saw. You have to have a chop saw. You should have that anyway if you're doing windows. And then the rest is just a matter of a little bit of time. And what we did, I did this in the project house. So on the project house, the most recent house, the house I live in now, it was 2x4 walls. We had the inside walls sprayed with foam. And then on the outside, we added 2 inches of foam and put strapping over that. So we got 3/4 inch strapping, 2 inches of foam. We got 2 3/4 inches on the outside of the building, and that the strap screwed through the strapping, through the foam, into the old sheathing. So all the windows have to be out a little bit further. Pete's not calling in today. Okay, he's busy, he says. I lost my train of thought now. Thank you, Pete, if you're listening. Completely gone. Oh, okay. So getting back to the window. So at that point, I framed around the outside of the window with strapping. And these was new construction windows we put in. They get nailed to the strapping or screwed. I think probably I screwed them. And then on the inside, we have a depth that is different than what the original, nothing, we didn't have any trim anyway because everything was gutted. So what I wound up doing was measuring around the window how much I needed to come in to where the new interior wall covering is. And sometimes it's not uniform. Things might be off just a dite. But I will make a box. So it would be two sides in the top are easy. I use pine, screw it together. The bottom windowsill is a little bit different because that is not normally flush with the wall. It extends out from the edge of the wall, the surface of the wall, maybe inch and a half, depending on how much you want in the room. And it has to be notched, and you've got some ears that stick out either side that your interior trim comes down onto. And I would make that as a box normally. And I would fit it into that opening. And I think I told the story recently, and see how it fits against the window. And if everything is uniform, it's flush with the surface of the wall, because I'm going to be putting trim on the face of the wall. I would take it out. I would caulk the edge that's going to be up against the window and put it back in and nail it into the framing that's around the window. The framing is still there. And then I would foam it as well, because we do have a gap there. The foam adds some structure, although it's either screwed or nailed into place. And then the rest is fairly simple. And what I did with the interior trim, because clamshell molding, everybody uses it in ranch houses or whatever. it's like, it isn't very attractive. It looks, it's pretty mundane stuff. So I came up with a deal, I don't know how long ago, but I would take usually something like a 1x5 piece of pine, and I would trim out the window with just flat 1x5 stock. And then on top of that, I would then get colonial clamshell trim. And normally I was getting MDF because it would just works better, holds paint better. I put that over the 1x, and it gives you kind of a more of a historic look. I don't want to say architectural look because it's not architectural, but a historic look that ain't bad. And it's reasonably inexpensive. The MDF trim is usually a little bit cheaper than pine or finger joint or whatever you wind up getting. If I had it, if I had the wood, I'd use it. But generally, I got MDF, which I think I came 16-foot lengths. And so it kind of, for me, minimized a lot of waste. And it's pretty simple. And then underneath the window, on the bottom of that window sill, would be a piece of just the colonial trim, trimmed out to look, not just be square edge or beveled edge, but just trimmed out. And normally I would use a bench sander, you know, sanding disc that's on a bench, just to trim it out if I haven't already trimmed it with something like a jigsaw. And it's quick and easy. It doesn't take, you know, if it took me more than 15, 20 minutes to do a individual window, you know, maybe a 53 inch window, I was starting to get cranky. So it's not complicated. And I would usually wind up at Hammond Lumber, where they had a really good selection of pine, and that I think they manufactured themselves. I get what I needed. And do a regular run as I ran out. And I might do a couple windows a day. In this case, where we are now, we would probably not have to add any trim to the windows. We may have to cut some stuff down as we replace them. But the windows that are there are mostly intact. They already have storm windows on them. There's combinations and old wooden windows. So, the list I made yesterday, one of the first things I'll do on Monday is get in there and measure some of these windows exactly to see if I can find a stock size that might fit stock, or do I have to have an exact replacement made? I suspect the stock size is going to fit from what I measured earlier, but I really have to get inside the house, open the windows, measure in several spots. And I would say normally if you're measuring for a window, three different spots, vertically, horizontally, and then maybe diagonally as well. Although in this case, I don't see any racking, but just to be sure. And then we can start to look for what is going to go in there. And that will make a big difference, too. Although, if the house has storm windows, it's not an urgent thing. Message just came in. Come on, Pete. We're waiting with bated breath to hear your inspiring New Year's resolutions. What does I'm busy mean rearranging the sock drawer? No, actually, I think he's got a customer coming in. And he had some kind of question that I guess he thinks I should just stop talking to you and answer his question, his text message question. That's my boy. He channels his grandmother, his Italian grandmother, and he does a good job at it. Anyway, he's around today if you want to stop in and see him. If you haven't got your dose of Pete and you're driving down Route 1, he's there. He's there today at 3:00. Although probably want to come at no later than 10 to 3. Because he tends to close a little bit early when I'm not there. And chances are I won't be there. So, and we're just about out of time. So I tell you what, keep an eye on the on YouTube. It's Hot and Cold Television. Tuesday, Wednesday, We'll have some first videos up for you to look at. And then we can, if there's something to discuss, we can discuss them on Saturday. I'm probably not going to have any comments up on the YouTube video place just because people can be ignorant, myself included, and which is why I don't comment on stuff if I can avoid it. I comment on banjos, but that's about it. We're going to go. Everybody have a safe week. Stay warm. Be careful if you're burning wood. See you next week.
Practicality, D doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T rubbles more or less, B or the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine. I hear sleigh bells ringing smack in the middle of May. I go